Good morning, family.
Shalom.
Peace be with you. Two readings this morning. The first reading is from the Gospel of Luke, and the second one, a verse, will be from Acts chapter 1. Okay. And this is Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Shalom, peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And just over another couple of books to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, and just verse 8, chapter 1 of verse 8 of the book of Acts. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." May God bless his reading to us this morning.
So this morning we're thinking about to be an eyewitness, continuing our theme of chosen. We are chosen by God to be eyewitnesses. You know, seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. You know, there are events in our lives that we believe because we see it in person. We see it in person. When your child speaks their first word or takes their first step, you should have seen. You should have seen. You should have heard. When Esther did those things, if I'm honest, I can't remember now, but we must have got really excited when her first word and her first step came. And it was like, oh, text or phone, you know, Esther's spoken for the first time. I witnessed my daughter say a word. Take that first step. You have been witnesses, especially if you have children, to those sort of events and other events. There are those who also believe because of what they're told. What they're told. You need to go to Norfolk for a holiday because I've been there and it's a wonderful place. Some people regard me as being on the tourist board for Norfolk. I'm not aware I am. Perhaps I need to invite them to send me a check. But no, I'd say that because I've been there and some people then go, oh, well, maybe we'll try it. I know we had friends who went to Northumberland on holiday. And they always say, you need to go, you need to go. This year, we went up to Northumberland. It's amazing. If you've never been up there, go. It's beautiful. Fortunately, we had lovely weather. But I imagine even in the wet, it's going to be lovely. You know, do you know, have you been told that the earth is tilted on a 23-degree axis? Did you know that? Good, some people did. Has anybody measured that? Any of you measured that? I think I'm just going to check. I wonder if it is. What if it's 23 degrees? You know, we believe it because someone has told us it. We can prove scientifically that the earth is tilted because we have seasons. We're moving into autumn, which is why we have a number of people who aren't well. Because the change of season, people will think, oh, I'll get a cold or a flu. But there are changes in the seasons, spring, autumn. And we all have preferred seasons. Some people like winter, some people like the summer. Our weather patterns would be closer to those living on Earth at its centre, near the equator, if there wasn't a tilt. We believe the facts about the Earth even more than our great-great-great ancestors who thought that the Earth was flat. Because we've seen pictures from outer space. Most of us have probably been watched TV. Let's just check that. Anybody watch TV? Look at this. Everybody, no, just keep your hand down. I never watch it at all. I think most of us have a TV in our homes. I'd be very surprised if you didn't. If you didn't, well done. But lots of us do. And there are certain programs. My wife likes watching Law and Order. And SUV and things like that. Now, others watch programs. I've seen it. I've never actually watched it fully. Judge Judy. Some people may watch that here. We can learn what tricks Judge Judy has up her sleeve to help her tell who is lying and who is telling the truth. When you watch these sort of programs like SUV, they have people they bring up to be witnesses. I saw this. This is what I saw. And it was either then for the person who's being prosecuted or against them. When we were young, when I was young, when we were young, the majority of us, I would assume, were taught to tell the truth. And therefore, we believe that everyone tells the truth. However, as we grow up, and become an adult, we know that it's not quite true. We have to teach ourselves how to be savvy enough, keen enough, watchful enough to recognize what actually is true and what isn't. Much of our history we get through eyewitnesses is passed down from one generation to the other. And it's often through it being written down. We rely on what we are told. The instructions on my microwave meal says stick it at 120, in the microwave for 6 minutes at 800, when it's an 800 watt thing. You trust it. I don't go, well, let me just go and test that. I put it in, it says 3 minutes. Do it for 3 minutes, give it a stir, put it back in, another 3 minutes, and it comes out and you can eat it. As far as it's working at the moment. I've not had food poisoning. I do cook other ways as well, just to say. But we do. We take it as read. It says to do that. I do it. Isaac Newton built the first reflecting telescope. Louis Pasteur discovered pasteurization. Millicent Fawcett was an American civil rights was leading suffragette and campaigner for equal rights for women. Rosa Parks was an American civil rights activist. Albert Einstein developed the theory of relativity. How much of our history have we actually seen with our own eyes? We know that because we believe in the witness from the stories of, about these people. I wasn't there. I wasn't there when the apple fell. He goes, oh, that is gravity. But we all accept it. How much of our history do we believe because of an eyewitness who was there at the time? There is a lot we believe from the stories we hear of actual what eyewitnesses. However, as I've grown up, and others here older than me have grown up, we've also experienced that it's not as it used to be. That the Bible was respected. It was treated as, that's it, as tract. However, today, people who call themselves atheists, which in the broadest sense is an absence of belief in the existence of a deity, are more vocal and trying to discredit the Bible and God. Is it perhaps time that we as Christians reclaim our eyewitness testimonies? Jesus suffered and died on a cross in public humiliation. He didn't do it for fun. It wasn't a pleasurable activity for him. He was crucified publicly because eyewitnesses could give testimony that it actually happened. And then Jesus, we see, resurrected from the dead. Eyewitnesses give their testimony. If you look within the Bible, there are many, you know, the 12 see him. Others, you know, the two walking to, up the road to Emmaus. Others saw him. Groups of up to 500 witnessed him. These are reliable sources. These are reliable sources. He had meals with people. How amazing to have had a meal with Jesus. How amazing would that have been? I would have liked that, actually. I quite like fish. You see, they ate with him, drank with him, watched him perform miracles. Can you imagine their shock, though, when, during their grief from the loss of Jesus, he reappeared to them? As it says, isn't it? It says here, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. What a shock to the system. Of course, they thought he was a ghost. But to prove that he's not, he ate with the disciples. He allowed them to touch him, to touch his feet, that he actually had substance, flesh. Through doing these things, he is enabling his disciples, to become more credible witnesses. As I was reading this more in the week, I think, oh yeah, basically he's saying, look, do this, touch me. He's giving them more evidence. Saying, do you know what? I physically touched him. And it wasn't like, oh, there's nothing there. I physically touched him. He ate a boiled fish in front of me. Through doing these things, he was enabling his disciples to be more credible eyewitnesses. Now, let's not let people who live in so-called darkness take our eyewitness testimony from us. Our scripture is just as sound as any factual eyewitness testimony that would appear in court. We're running Alpha at the moment, and 2 weeks ago, within the content, we talked about Jesus. Who is Jesus? And the fact that the Bible is a reliable text. The Bible is a reliable text. And so witness to who Jesus is. And we talked about the fact that actually there is more evidence for the Bible and scripture than Caesar's diary, you know, his war. There's only eight or something of those, but there's thousands of evidence for the Bible, for the New Testament writings. So we can trust that witness. Isn't that good to know? Yes, it really is, Nick. Thank you. You see, the New Testament was offering evidence to who Jesus is. I'm not sure whether it should be on that slide or a different slide. What's that one? Oh, well, do you know what, we're staying on this one. We also can recognise the reliability of these early church eyewitnesses because early Christians were willing to die for the truth. Do you know what, that adds a weight to that witness, isn't it? The fact that they were, I saw it, I believe it. How about I chuck you in front of those lions? Still believe it. Because it happened. Jesus was real. Early Christians were willing to risk their lives to share the gospel message of Jesus. It was prophecy told by Isaiah to the Jewish people. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's helping them understand. He's fulfilling prophecy. You know, before it was all written down, it was all done verbatim, wasn't it? That was their culture, was storytelling, to tell accounts. They were, I'm going to tell you this. And it was committed to memory. People witnessed to others who then witnessed to others. The Jewish scribes took the Torah and the books of the prophets and the wisdom literature really seriously. They dedicated their lives to making sure that the accurate ancient records were not tainted or distorted. And we have eyewitnesses from our generation, you know, who found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And that they match up. If only our news reporters had the same precision in reporting news and facts and figures today, maybe we as a culture would not be so susceptible to doubting the Word of God as it's written in the Bible. Because we do. We're bombarded. Social media. They're chucking. Is that really right? This happened. And we'll go, oh, we must believe that because it's on social media. It's on the website. We must believe it. Well, actually, is that actually factually true? These people eating dogs and cats and stuff in some American, is that really factually true? So they were reliable eyewitnesses. Oh, do you know what? There we go. But being a reliable eyewitness, what does it mean for us? We cannot touch Jesus' actual hands and feet today, can we? But we do have a way of knowing God, that he exists, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ was not a myth, but actual fact. Our God, Father Almighty, gives us the gift of faith. But it takes a step or two or three to believe and receive that gift. It takes humility to say, I am not God. It takes humility to say, I am a human being with faults. I need a saviour. Arrogance shuts out the Holy Spirit, who gives us faith. Pride shuts out the Holy Spirit, who gives us belief. Holding on to grudges shuts out the Comforter, who gives us truth. Putting fame, riches, fortunes before God shuts out the wisdom of God. We must cleanse ourselves from all our unrighteousness in order to let the Holy One into our lives. And maybe you've not done that yet. Maybe, and what I'm talking about there is basically saying, have you said yes to Jesus? Because he's there saying, I'm here, I love you, I want to be part of your life. I died for you. All you have to do is say, come in. And in saying that, you will be refreshed. You will be cleaned. Because God, who is holy, cannot dwell in an unclean spirit. We need to be an eyewitness to the mercy and grace of God. Because when I said yes to Jesus, it's because of his mercy and grace that I am restored and made new. And it's the same for you. If you have said yes to Jesus, then you have received his mercy and grace. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus Christ will make eyewitnesses of all who come before him and ask him into their hearts with repentance, sincere repentance. There's an interesting bit in here. It says this, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He opened their minds. As I said this morning, a couple of bells. The purpose of a bell is to ring. As I said, the purpose of a witness is to ring. How many of us potentially are just on show? It's on the shelf. And how many of us are ringing for Jesus? Being a witness for Jesus. Jesus opens their minds to enable them to become witness. And this, as I've been preparing, I want to give us an invitation this morning to follow the disciples' example and allow Jesus to open our minds, through which we then can understand Scripture, and in doing so lead us and allow him to lead our lives, so that we can be that witness for Jesus. So, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. If you think, I want to receive God, I want to have that touch, I want to have my mind opened so I can understand the scriptures better, so that I can be in tune with what God is wanting for my life. And maybe some of us, we need to have our mind open by saying, actually, I want to know you, Father. I want to know you, because I don't know you yet. And others, it might be, yeah, I've known you, and I've had it like on show. But now I need to be this full-on witness for you. So we are. I'm going to invite, if you think, oh, I want to have my mind, I want to have a touch of God. I want, as Jesus went and opened their minds, he can open our minds. He can open our minds. So if you are sitting here this morning, and you feel, actually, I need my mind to be opened, because I need to know God better. I need to understand scriptures because it's in here. The truth is in here. I want to give you the opportunity. So if that's you, you think, actually, yeah, there's no pressure. But if you want to stand, you stand. Thank you. Father God, we stand before you. We stand before you because we recognize that you are everything. And as we've read this morning, the disciples were there, and you came and you said, peace be with you. And I believe that your peace is with us now. And Lord, you also ate, you gave them evidence, say, look, I'm physically here. And then you opened their minds, you touched their minds and opened them to have understanding. Lord, we are, those of us that are standing right now, I pray that you would open our minds to what your scriptures say, to the truth that you came, that you love. So Father, please meet with us right now. Open our minds. If the mind is just one that has been close to you and never been open, I pray that you would meet that person as they are. Reveal yourself to them and say, I am God and I love you and I want to walk with you and I want to make you my child. And if it's someone who just needs that affirmation, say, I am not useless. I can be who Christ has made me to be. Lord, I pray you do that now. For those who just need, yes, the understanding to know what it truly is to be a child of God, I pray you break those walls down and meet them now. Lord, there are perhaps many other things that need to be opened. And that's fortunate because you're God and you can do that. So I pray now that people, we would all feel your touch on our shoulders. And in doing that, your touch is opening our minds to understand Scripture and to truly live in a way that is honouring you. Because, Lord, we all want to be a ringing bell, a ringing witness for you. Perhaps you're sensing, feeling a warmth, maybe just a sense of brokenness, Lord, whatever that may be. God does work in many ways, but allow him. And if it's easy, just have your hands open, then have your hands open to receive from him as a gesture. That's that gesture of receiving. So perhaps you need to hold in that position and allow God to give to you. We all need to recognize that we are witnesses when we do a kind act for someone. We are witnesses when we invite a friend or neighbor to church. We are witnesses when we do things such as teaching in kids' church or serving in the youth work or a part of the worship group or serving as a welcomer. We are witnesses when we seek to strengthen and build our marriages. We are witnesses when we seek to speak positiveness into our workplace. We're even a witness when we come to church. And as David wrote in our notice sheet this week, we are called not just to give witness, but to be a witness. I pray that for all of us, whether we're standing or sitting, that we would all come to a point to recognize that we don't just give witness, but we are to be a witness. Because you are everything. You are everything. In your mighty name. Amen. We're going to come to a point where we're going to end with our last hymn, our last song. Just to say, if you think, I didn't stand up, or I did stand up, but if you need some prayer ministry, that will be available at the end of the service, over on my left, your right. Come forwards and let us pray with you.